This is Your Own Best Company, a podcast for people who love to work alone. Hey there, everybody. Franklin Taggart here. This is Your Own Best Company, a podcast for people who love working alone. And those of you who have been paying attention have recently heard an episode that I did with Laura Livingston. And Laura had another idea for a conversation that I thought was a perfect one to get started with in this new year. As we're recording this, this is the fifth or sixth? Is it the fifth?
Yes.
I think it's the 5th of January.
I don't even know what date. I don't even know.
I don't care about dates anymore.
Me neither.
But we are getting started with this new year, and Laura came up with the idea of talking a little bit about what happens for a solopreneur or a freelancer when their body has other plans. And both of us have some significant experience in this area. And I've talked about that. You know, I've talked about my own health experiences before and some of the things that are going on. But I've got other stories to tell, and Laura has stories to tell as well. So I'll welcome Laura back. Laura, how are you today?
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. I'm good.
Thanks. I think that your idea is very timely. And it actually kind of ties into, as I've been preparing my plans for 2023, this is the first year that has been really difficult for me in terms of setting goals. And I don't know. Mm. I think toward the end of the year, I was going through a little bit of a depression. And I'm not sure. It was probably more seasonal than anything else. I can't point to any circumstances other than, you know, cloudy skies and shorter days.
I'll do it.
That affected me. But it has been really difficult to come up with plans for the year, for 2023. And in our little conversation that we were having before we pushed record, I mentioned that one of the things that I'm becoming aware of is that I really need to do some things. I need to put some things in place, some practices in place, to increase my energy and improve my overall health, both physical and emotional and mental, all the above. And so as I started to look at 2023 and identify what my priorities are for my business, my health is at the top of the list. Mm. And, we've got a lot of stories that we can tell, but I was interested to hear, you had mentioned that was it in the last year that you started to have some problems with your neck that really made some of what you do very difficult. Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit of that story?
Sure. Yeah. And you're going to probably see it play out even as we're talking, because I will need to stretch my neck while we talk, or I now have a desk that moves up and down, and I will move it during the call. So, so it's been I hate to even think of how long it's been. It's been about 18 months, since I injured my neck, and, just carrying things I was too heavy to carry in a way that wasn't ergonomic or sustainable for my body. And what it really did, just briefly, the symptoms, it started with some nerve pain going down my arms. And so I instantly was not able to type and click things on a computer. And I do a lot of, particularly my marketing is, at least at the time, was almost exclusively social media and written all by me. So, that was a huge impact, you know, pretty much from the get-go. Luckily, I'm able to, as long as I have my computer set up, I can do a Zoom great, and I'm a coach. So that's the most important thing. But that affected me in that way. And then ultimately, it started to affect my vestibular system, and the nerve pain went up my head. And so that did actually affect the way that I was operating on Zoom, and had to limit my calls and things like that. I'm so much better, thanks to a combination of experts and some changes that I've made also in my work, which we can talk about more, but also in just sort of my setup at home and how I'm my desk and my, you know, all the ergonomic, that my chair is different and things like that. But the, I think part of what we can get into today too is, it, you know, it affected, practically speaking, how I get work done and how I run my business, my virtual business with the computer that pained me. And then the emotional, the mental, any energetic toll it took on me and still sometimes affects me has been massive.
I think one of the things that a lot of solopreneurs and freelancers don't take into account is that if your body has any challenges at all, or if you're, you know, if you go through any emotional challenges at all, and your company, your business is going to be affected. There's just no question about it. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about, I mean, you mentioned the fact that you couldn't type and you mm-hmm. were noticing difficulties as you were trying to conduct Zoom calls and things like that. What, I mean, how did you adapt as you were going through this mm-hmm. so that the bases that needed to be covered were covered?
Yeah, it was a, there were several phases a lot of trial and error, because as my neck shifted, as the pain shifted in different ways, I then had to, it was, you know, then I had to adjust again. But I think we'll see if I can, I'm always a long-winded person. I think one of the themes or one of the things I had to pay attention to and still have to pay attention to is how I'm leveraging my team. At the time that the injury happened, I think I had one or two team members, and I grew to four at a certain point and then pulled back again just based on what was needed and how I was doing and who had what skills. But I really, one of the big themes and things that I shifted my focus to is, okay, you know, yes, there's a practical and a strategic way to run a business where when you have, you know, some support, you can in theory grow and scale in a, you know, in an easier, more effective way. Not always, but for many businesses. And so I knew that and I was already on that path, but it sort of forced me to move that forward a lot quicker than I had planned and to grow my team much quicker than I really would have, you know. So it was like, on the one hand, we started to move towards more efficiency, but man, it took us a minute to get there because I brought on more people than I really wanted to, you know, just by necessity.
What were some of the tasks that you had in the team circles? What were the things that you handed over to them?
Most of it was and still is and has always been related to getting like social media out of my, like the content out of my head and onto social media. And we played around with a bunch of different ways to do that because, as I said, I always wrote and still do write my own content. And I had to shift, you know, a couple of things I think I did, pulling back on the written, creating new written stuff, grabbing old content and seeing what we can do to just change a sentence or two and stick it back out there, because repurposing is great. And I also moved to a much more video focused content. So now I definitely had some challenges because most of the like reels I did on Instagram and stuff had to be set up through my phone, which was even harder on my neck. But once I had a sort of way to set it up, or I could even get my boyfriend to set it up as he left for the day, I was able to generate more content with video and less with written. We played around with transcribing some of those videos. We ultimately didn't choose that way, but we played with it for a bit. So it was, the tasks I think were more, you know, some of it was just brainstorming as a team. Okay, what other options do we have? We've always use social media in this way? How can we expand and shift? But then also, who can do what? You know, yeah. Using once I record a video, there's no way I'm going to be editing that, right, with my neck. So who can do that? And how can we get those things out the door? It really came down to those very practical, tactical tasks of getting the content organized. Because I also used to organize it, and put in a sense, you know, put in a way that it could go out.
Were you finding this help through VAs and those kinds of things?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I had. I think at the biggest point in time, I think we had two or three VAs and I had an online business manager, which was really helpful at that critical time to just kind of organize it all and keep it straight, because that was when I had to be off the computer the most.
Yeah.
Now,
as a coach, most of the delivery of your services, if not all of it, has been through Zoom, right?
All on me. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's not something that you can hire out.
No.
So how did you have to limit the amount of delivery time that you did for your coaching services?
I played around with that. I typically ultimately found that if I just created enough space between calls, I could manage. It was like, I was fine for a call, but then you started adding multiple calls back to back per day, that was not an option anymore. So I had to create more space in my calendar.
Yeah.
I also support my clients in between sessions with Basecamp or like an email messaging kind of, you know, we have conversations throughout the month, not just on the days that we have calls. And so that was the hardest one for my heart, because the last thing I wanted to do was affect my client service, you know. I was okay affecting myself and even my team with pulling back on marketing or shifting in marketing, but with the people in front of me that I serve, you know, that was really hard. I took 2 months off from supporting my clients in Basecamp, and I just offered them more calls is what I ultimately did, but we spread those calls out. So it wasn't, you know, so they did have a temporarily slightly pulled back level of support. But my lesson in that is I asked everyone and everybody was like, I feel supported. I want you to, and I don't want you to hurt yourself to communicate with me. I will give you what I need. And sometimes we would just like tack on 10 minutes to a call, and that would sort of serve as the, you know, the base camp. Cause I feel like in base camp, I get updates from them, so they don't have to use their calls with me to like tell me what's going on. We can use our calls to like dive into the mindset, make a plan for something in their strategy, you know, really do the meat of the work. But that one was tough. But the lesson is, you know, you can support, you don't have to, you know, do it the way you've always done it. There are other ways, and check in with your clients. You know, I was really upset, and then everybody's telling me they're great. So get over yourself, Laura, you know, and I think that was a lesson that I shared with my clients too, around, you know, you do have to support yourself, while supporting others. And that's not sustainable if you're not supporting yourself. And I needed a different level of support for me at that point in time. You know, to your point, like you are your company, you are your business. And if you're not supported, you know.
Was there ever a point that you had to stop completely for a little while?
No. Luckily, I was able to just space out my calls in a different way. That was the most of, you know, the closest I got to that pause.
Overall, what was the impact on the bottom line of your business?
I actually grew in the beginning.
Of course you did.
Was I overcomplicating things? Perhaps. Yeah. I think, and some of that, you know, you could argue was coming from, because I think marketing has like that delayed reaction or response, right? So some of it was all the work I had done in the beginning of that year was still compounding and affecting my business, the relationships I had built, all of those things. And in that time period, I think 95% of my clients renewed. So I wasn't needing to generate as many new clients at that point in time.
Yeah.
To stay fully booked. But then there was a period of time, I don't know when, maybe after that first 6 months, where because I had expended so much, I was spending so much more on team.
Yeah.
And so the income was about the, or the revenue was about the same, but my bottom line was not the same. What I was paying myself was much less. And that ultimately, you know, that was fine for a time. And then I said, okay, this isn't sustainable either. So yeah. Let's sort of, and then we kind of scaled the team back to a sort of a middle of the road. And I was better too at that point. I was able to do a few more things. So yeah, it's been an interesting, it affected my bottom line in different directions, different points.
Well, one of the things that comes to my mind is that when we make our plans as entrepreneurs, as business people, as anything really, we always make our plans based on the assumption that we're going to be well.
Yeah, right.
And one of the things, I had a conversation, it's been quite a while back, with Craig Cannings of Freelance U. And Craig and I were talking about contingency plans. Mm. And I said, you know, I didn't have a contingency plan for my music business, and there actually couldn't have been a contingency plan for my music business, because right. There really was nothing that I could do. I mean, I could still point at the guitar and say, put your finger here, but I couldn't play to demonstrate anything. Yeah. And, but as a coach, one of the things that I've been looking at is there a way that I could, you know, like as I've been working on the plans for 2023, is there something that I could put in place that's a just in case kind of a plan, in case there's a downturn of some kind that I didn't anticipate? Mm-hmm. And so thinking that way has been very interesting. I'm wondering, you know, like, what are the things that I can do to just ensure that I still have a business if anything should happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, I don't have real concrete ideas about that right now, but it is something that I've entered into the planning that I'm doing. And then the other thing that I mentioned to you before was that a central part of my 2023 plan is that I just absolutely have to do more to improve my energy, my physical and emotional and mental well-being. That has to be the top priority, not just personally, but for my business as well.
Yeah.
So those are the things that I'm kind of going through on this end of things. I've had a long, strange trip as far as my health is concerned. And I've told the story about the time in my life when, you know, my body was going into organ failure, and, you know, I couldn't walk 10 steps without having to stop to catch my breath, and, you know, those kinds of things. And that was the time in my life when I discovered two important things. One of them was that coaching was an energizing activity.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing that I found was that there are lots of digital opportunities out there that didn't require me to be able to, you know, to perform songs for 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
So
the word sustainability keeps coming up.
Yeah. Well, sustainability is such an interesting concept for a solopreneur anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And like in your situation, I think you were smart in finding some team members that you could delegate to. Mm-hmm. I've had a difficult time with that.
It's not easy.
Yeah.
I have to. I don't want to pretend like that has been easy for me. Well, it has been a lot of trial and error, but yeah, go ahead.
I hired a few people and it just ended up not working out very well. And I don't have the patience or the time or the money to work that out right now. I really just have to stay. I have to stay focused. I have to
100%.
Stay on task. So one of the things that I've really had to work on is saying my priority My one priority. I don't even have a list of priorities. I have one priority. So it's like what I know this week is that my priority is to get my online courses transferred from one host to the other. Right?
That's it.
And that's all.
Yeah.
You know?
So and that's enough.
Yeah, well, in the midst of it, so what that has meant is that I'm not taking as many coaching calls, and I'm really keeping my time blocks open to do that transfer, because that has to happen in order for that revenue stream to get back up and running, right?
Yeah.
So those are the kinds of things that I look at, is that as a solopreneur, there's some juggling that has to be done. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that I always look at the beginning of the year is, what is my daily commitment going to be this year? Mm-hmm. And last year, my daily commitment was to release a YouTube video every day.
I love that.
I made it all the way through. That was great. And it's been so good to take 3 or 4 days off from that. I bet.
365.
Yeah, I made 365, and now I've taken like 4 or 5 days off, and it's so wonderful.
Yeah.
But this year, what I felt like that I need to have as my daily priority is I have to start the day with some kind of, it either needs to be yoga or it needs to be exercise. Mm-hmm. Because I need to be in my body.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And one of the things that happened during the pandemic was that I stopped moving so much. Mm-hmm. And I've noticed with my hips and my knees and my joints and everything, that everything is more stiff. Mm-hmm. And everything's a little bit more tender, and everything's a little bit more, you know, I'm much more tentative than I've ever been about moving around, right? Well, that's having an impact on the way that I operate in my business. So those are the things that are kind of coming up for me around this topic. I don't know that I've landed anywhere yet, but those are the directions that are starting to unfold.
The thing that's popping up for me as you're saying that too, because a lot of what we've been talking about so far, and it's multi-layered, so all of these layers are valid and necessary to talk about. But I think, you know, we've been talking so much about like the practical elements or the like tangible, obvious elements of like, can you physically, you know, play the guitar? Can you physically Zoom call your clients so that you can do, you know, those things? But I think what I'm hearing from you and what I think about when you talk about like, if I'm, I don't want to say sacrificing, but if I'm not nurturing my health in the way that I could be, or at the next level or whatever, you just want to improve that, right? Then I do think, yes, there's the physical toll it takes. And then yes, obviously there is a practical view of like how that plays out in your business. Because if you can't physically show up for your business, it ain't gonna be there.
You don't have a business.
You don't have no business. Yeah. But the North Carolina is coming out. But I think there's also the element too, which I think we don't, it's not as intuitive or obvious, especially in North American culture. But like, if the truth is, if you take care of your body, you're also taking care of yourself emotionally. Like there's something to be said for putting yourself first, especially in a service oriented profession, that when you do choose to say, I'm going to focus on this and I'm going to take care of me. Yeah. I also think like the truth is, if the more you're taking care of your body, that just sort of naturally, because it's all connected, you're taking care of yourself emotionally and mentally, which I think means you are able to be a better coach. You are able to be a better musician. You are able to be a better, whatever you decide to do in this life. You're actually adding to your potential to impact the world, starts with you, but like you're actually adding to all of those things. Yeah. It's just a little like domino effect as opposed to really obvious. And we don't like to like put in the time for later stuff, right? Like we like to get that instant gratification. And I think, but this is a sustainable thing for you to start to do for yourself, you know, so that you can do it with more ease in your body, do it with more joy, you know, because I'm sure there were moments when I was coaching somebody and I'm talking to them like this, because the only way I can deal is to like move my neck and not keep it so still, you know, I'm sure that affected something in that moment,
It's
whether
like
it
you
was
have
my ability to be 100% or their ability to pay attention, because their coach is like talking to them like this,
turn
you
your
know.
webcam off to the
Yes.
side, like Alfred Hitchcock
We're
or
just going to
something.
talk this way now. You know, so I think like it also helps you to do your work. You know, I think I'm a better coach now than I was 18 months ago, not just because it's been 18 months, but because of the way that I'm taking care of myself in a deeper way.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that comes to my mind as you're speaking that is the idea that I think it's important not to compartmentalize mental, emotional, and physical. And I have a tendency to compartmentalize everything. But one of the things that I've looked at is, from a holistic perspective, is, you know, the emotions are where the mind meets the body. It's like the emotions are a physical manifestation of the quality of the thought that we're having in the moment. And it's like, if I am going through the depressed state, like I was the last couple of weeks of the year, there's a direct relationship between both what my body is going through and what my thinking is doing. And that's manifesting in my body as that feeling, right? That emotion is being brought to life, you know, as a result of the things that I'm thinking. So one of the things that I found is that I can approach that from a couple of different ways. Now, one of them is that there are some really cool techniques out there that are oriented at helping you to raise your level of consciousness and thinking that goes along with it. The one that comes to mind is one called the release technique or the Sedona method. And basically that's like a mindset shifting technique where you just say, okay, can I let go of this way that I'm feeling right now? And when you let go of the way that you're feeling right now, you're making room for the next higher feeling to come in. And you just keep going through that process until your emotional state is in a pretty high place. And what's really cool is that as you do that, as you release those things, your body is where the emotion is experienced, right?
Yeah.
So your
yeah.
body benefits from that as well.
Yeah.
And then the reverse is true as well. It's like, if I'm going through a really low time, one of the things that I know that I need to do is I need to be more in my body. And so yoga or even just a nice gentle walk, or sometimes, like, you know, I don't do much dancing anymore, but you know, I can still shake this this body and you know, it'll last for a while.
I'm all about dancing in the kitchen when I'm making dinner. Yeah.
So those are the things that I look at, that those are things that I can do to improve my physical and my emotional state. And then the other thing that happens is that when I am engaged in coaching, I'm naturally energized by that exchange.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that was like the telltale sign that it was something that I needed to consider, is that I felt energized by it rather than drained.
Depleted,
and for
yeah.
an introvert, that's, you know, that's something to pay attention to. If I, you know, if I'm in a crowd of people, I'm going to get just freaked out and go into sensory overload and, you know, get my security blanket and suck my thumb. But I really, the thing that I'm curious about from your, you know, from your experience, Laura, is have you ever had any kind of long-term things that made it challenging for you to do the things that you wanted to do?
I even want to just think about that for a minute. Yes, many.
Okay.
Where do I begin?
Yeah.
I want to just say one thing to what you were talking about just now, because it's almost like I can't move on because I want to say this one
Perfect.
Thing, which is when you talked about the energy, One of my favorite discoveries in the last few years is Gay Hendricks, where he talks about the genius zone and the big leap and upper limiting. And I could read that every day and still keep learning. And it's really helped me to be a better coach and spot these things in my clients. And when you think about the genius zone, which is like the ultimate level of not just your gifts, but your fulfillment, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't want to put you in a category because I'm not about labels and that kind of thing. But it's like, if we oversimplify for a second, like the music, while it brings you a level of fulfillment, you might have, the way you were putting your music out into the world, if it was draining you, was probably not all the way in your genius zone, or was probably elements of your genius. He would, to use his words, you know, an elements of your, what's the other one? Zone of expertise. No, zone of excellence.
Yeah.
So you're excellent at it and you're known for it, and maybe it brings you a level of fulfillment. But if coaching is actually more energizing and doesn't drain you, he would kind of say like, that's more genius for you. And, and that's why it's more sustainable and why it doesn't drain you. And anyway, I think that's I think the energy level, but also the energizing versus draining is an important thing to pay attention to. It's like one of the ways our body clues us into our levels of deeper fulfillment, our levels of genius zone, and all of those things, which just means we are able to enjoy our lives to the greatest potential and impact others at a greater potential too.
Yeah, there's so much that I could unpack around the musical experience. Mm-hmm. And what I can say just briefly is that for me, as an introverted kid, when I got my guitar at 13, all of a sudden I had a way to be social in a community that really valued athletics, where I wasn't a jock, and in a community that valued academics, where I wasn't an academically smart person. Music was my way of being social. And it also was something that I enjoyed immensely, just the process of making music. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that I came around to as I retired last year from performing, is mm-hmm. that performing had not been delivering much satisfaction to me for a very long time. But I still enjoy the creating, and I still enjoy writing and recording. So I don't have to give that up, but performing is just like, it's honestly, I compare it to a professional athletic type of an event. You're playing for 2.5 to 3, sometimes 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
And it's physical the whole time. And it's like at the end of the night, there is a physical toll. And it just...
Totally.
Toward the end of my performing days, it was taking a week or more to recover mm-hmm. physically from the performance. So it's like, you know, professional athletes have a lifespan in what they do.
That's right.
And I had reached that point with performing where I was not being energized by it. I was being really drained by it. But that's the thing. It's like, as I found coaching, one of the things that was really interesting is that those activities that are associated with coaching were a part of my life all along. They were things that were strengths of mine for years and years and years. And I knew that, but I'd never put it together in any, mm-hmm. in any meaningful way.
Yeah.
And there was like an aha moment. And I talk about it in some of my other stories. But the thing that's really interesting to me is like, it took a severe illness for me to be willing to entertain mm-hmm. the fact that I could be something other than a musician.
Yeah. Yeah. And finding a way, you know, to to keep music in your life in a way that honors that for you without taking it to a point that, because to your point, like, sounds like you're a musician, not so much a performer. Obviously you can do both, but that doesn't mean that that's sustainable or fulfilling or the greatest level of your expression, you know, with music. And, and maybe, you know, I think I've been having a lot of conversations lately with people about like multi-passionate, you know, can we just let ourselves also do, like, you can love music and want to love coaching and want to shift your focus. And it doesn't mean music was wrong or you don't love it, but it's just, honing in and fine tuning to how am I going to utilize music in my life now?
Yeah.
Which is now different, right, for you.
Well, I think that's one of the things where a coach can really help is to come in and say, these are all the things that matter to me. And the coach can say, okay, well, why don't we come up with a model where all of those things can fit?
Yeah.
Now, if you want to be a professional musician and you want to be a professional entrepreneur, there may be some conflicts in terms of the amount of time and energy that you've got.
Yeah.
But the fact is that if you're multi-passionate, I know people who are successfully managing to put all of those things together in a meaningful way.
Yep.
My friend Joseph Bennett is one of them, one of the people that I would point at first. Joseph and his husband Eli have this beautiful villa down in the middle of Mexico, and they are constantly, like last year, Eli did a one-man musical. Joseph wrote and released 3 books. They lead retreats. They do coaching. I mean, they are the model of the multi-passionate person. And they found a way to make it all fit together and work. And I think that that's one of the things that as coaches we can help people do, is to find ways to at least honor all of those aspects of ourself without having to cut it off and put it aside.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think there's like, not to diminish the emotional, energetic toll that it takes when you're in chronic pain or chronic poor health or whatever, you know, that you're dealing with. But I think there are silver linings. And sometimes, you know, as we talk about like having a relationship with our body, I think a lot of times there's wisdom in that body to say, you know, hey, Franklin, like, You're done with this performance thing, and we're gonna stop you because you're not, you know, because it's time, you know, and people can argue like you're not listening or whatever, but I think there's so much wisdom, and it's like working with your, okay, my body doesn't want me to run my business the way I was running it.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, like and ultimately I think the silver lining is finding way, like it sounds like you would, you know, you might never have become the magical coach that you are had you not had that hurdle to jump over physically. And I do think we are such holistic beings, and sometimes, you know, sometimes it's like some of my clients will find like, ugh, the energy thing, like it's just not lighting me up the way it used to. Okay, so there's your clue to pay attention to. How do we need to tweak what's happening? Sometimes it's the body. Sometimes it's, you know, the clients aren't coming in, or sometimes it's, you know, there's all these little clues and the body's one of them, and it's beautiful. And and it can be a lot. And so I think I love your 2023, you know, intention of really honoring your body and support it. It's mine as well. Supporting my body in a deeper way. So that we can stop arguing on certain days and you know, create some cool stuff this year.
The challenge that I've put in front of myself as far as my business is concerned this year, I don't know how I'm going to do it. I have no idea, but this is the challenge that I've given myself, is I want to make 10 times the amount of money working half the time.
I love it.
So I don't know how that's going to show up, but that is the intention that I'm bringing to the year.
And I think with intentions that like, that's how it works, right? Like you'll find the how along the way. And I think the other thing I want to say about any intentions or anything you want to create or anything you want to not suffer with, like physical ailments, for me, the most powerful thing that I've found in my life dealing with this neck injury, dealing with a back 10 years of chronic back pain, to answer your other question that I never answered, was honestly moments of I'm deciding this isn't going to run my life anymore. I'm deciding I'm going to heal from this one way, shape or form or the other.
Yeah.
And I swear to you, those are the pivotal moments that I see in my life, in my clients' lives, where when we make a decision that this isn't, and this is going forward, that's when it happens. So I love that. Like you've set that intention. We don't need to know how right now, and you'll find it, you know,
it'll come
because you're deciding. And that's so much more powerful than, man, I hope this neck thing stops.
The thing that was really funny is when I made that decision, when I said my intention for the year is this, there was a release that happened in my body and I felt it, and it was an affirming thing that said, yes, you've been pushing too hard for too little. Now we're going to reverse that.
Yeah.
My body said yes. Right.
I love that. Like in that moment of deciding, you're already hitting relief.
Well, Laura, I know that there will be other chapters to this discussion, so I'm going to put an ellipsis in where we are right now. I'll remind people that you can be found. Is it lauralivingston.co?
Correct.
So if you're interested in Laura's coaching, her ideas, her any other information about her, that's the place to check it out. And I know that you're going to be back soon. I just know it.
Me too.
Awesome.
Thank you,
thank you, Laura. Thanks for listening to Your Own Best Company. If you enjoyed the show, would you do me a favor and subscribe on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or your favorite podcast host? If you really love it, leave me a review or share it with your circles. If you feel like your career is reaching a dead end, or you're feeling a deep sense of dissatisfaction in your work right now, I help people discover their gifts and then find or create new opportunities that are the best fit for their talent, experience, and lifestyle. Email me at coaching@franklintaggart.com for more information. I also help people start, finish, and launch creative projects, and I offer an ongoing marketing mastermind for solopreneurs and freelancers. More information on these programs and services can be found at franklintaggart.com. Thanks again for spending this time with me.